Now today, I want to set out a serious argument to this country about how we do that, about how we compete and thrive in this world. How can we make sure that in this century, like the ones before, Britain is on the rise? Nothing matters more. Every battle we fight, every plan we make, every decision we take is to achieve that end. Britain on the rise. Now, though the challenge before us is daunting, I have confidence in our country. Why? Because Britain can deliver. We can do big things. We saw it this summer. The Jubilee, the Olympics, the Paralympics, the best country in the world, and let us say it, with our Queen, the finest head of state on earth. And here's something else this party has done in government. Last December, I was at a European Council in Brussels. It was 3 a.m, and there was a treaty on the table that was not in Britain's interests. And there were 25 people around that table telling me to sign it. But I did something that no other British leader has ever done before. I said, no, Britain comes first, and I vetoed that EU treaty. So, my friends, we're doing big conservative things. For years, people said, you'll never reform public sector pensions. The trade unions won't stand for it. Well, we've done it, and it's going to cut the cost to the taxpayer almost in half. For years, people said, benefits are out of control. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, because of our welfare cap, no family will be getting more in benefits than the average family earns. For years, people said. For years, people asked, why can't we get rid of those radical preachers who spout hatred about our country, living off the taxpayers? Well, Theresa May, a great Home Secretary, has done it. She's got Abu Hamza on that plane out of our country to face justice. All over the world, countries are on the rise. Yes, we've been hearing about India and China for years, but it's hard to believe what is happening in Brazil, in Indonesia, in Nigeria too. Meanwhile, the old powers are on the slide. Now, what do the countries on the rise have in common? They are lean, fit. They're obsessed with enterprise. They're spending money on the future, on education, incredible infrastructure, and technology. And what do countries on the slide have in common? They're fat, sclerotic, overregulated, spending money on unaffordable welfare systems, huge pension bills, unreformed public services. I sit in those endless meetings in Brussels where we talk forever about Greece, while on the other side of the world, China is growing so fast, they're creating another economy the size of Greece every 3 months. I'm not going to stand here as Prime Minister and allow this country to join the slide. My job, our job, is to make sure that in this 21st century, as in the centuries that came before, our country, Britain, is on the rise. And here we know how that is done. It is the collective result of individual effort and aspiration. The ideas you have, the businesses you start, the hours you put in. Aspiration is the engine of progress. Countries rise when they allow their people to rise. And in this world where brains matter more, where technologies shape our lives, where no one's owed a living, the most powerful resource we have is our people. Not just the scientists, the entrepreneurs, the engineers, not just the teachers, the parents, the nurses, but all our people, including the poorest, those who've never had a chance, never had a job, never had hope. That's why the mission for this government is to build an aspiration nation, to unleash and unlock the promise in all our people. And for us Conservatives, this is not just an economic mission, it is a moral one. It's not just about growth and GDP, it is what has always made our hearts beat faster. Aspiration, people rising from the bottom to the top. Line one, rule one of being a Conservative is that it's not where you come from that counts, it's where you're going. We've been led. We've been led by the daughter of a grocer, the son of a music hall performer, by a Jew when Jews were persecuted, by a woman when women were sidelined. We don't look at the label on the tin, we look at what's in it. Let me put that another way. We don't preach about one nation but practice class war. We just get behind people who want to get on in life. That's right. The doers, the risk takers, the young people who dream of their first paycheck, their first car, their first home. Those people are ready and willing to work hard to get those things. While the other intellectuals of other parties might sneer at people who want to get on in life, we here salute you. They call us the party of the better off. No, we're the party of the want to be better off, those who strive to make a better life for themselves, and we should never be ashamed of saying so. This party, our party, it has a great heart, but we don't like wearing it on our sleeve. Conservatives tend to think, let's just get on with the job and help people and not bang on about it. It's not our style. But there's a problem with that. It leaves a space for others to twist our ideas and distort who we are. The cartoon conservatives who don't care. My mission, from the day I became the leader of this party, was to change that. Yes, to show that the Conservative Party is for everyone, north or south, black or white, straight or gay, but above all, it was to show that conservative methods are not just the way we grow a strong economy, they're the way to build a big society. That conservative methods are not just good for the strong and the successful, but they're the best way to help the poor, the weak and the vulnerable. Because it's not enough. It's not enough for us to know our ideas are right. We've got to explain why they're compassionate too. Now, the Labour politicians who got us into this mess, they say they have a different way out of it. They call it Plan B, and it goes like this. We should stop worrying about deficit reduction, borrow more money, and spend it to boost the economy. It sounds so reasonable when you put it like that. Let me tell you why it's not. Right now, while we've got a deficit, the people we're borrowing money from believe that we'll pay it back because we've set out a tough plan to cut spending and to live within our means. That's why our interest rates are amongst the lowest in the world, even though the deficit left to us by Labour was one of the highest in the world. If we did what Labour want and we watered down our plans, the risk is that the people that we borrow money from would start to question our ability and our resolve to pay off our debts. Some might actually refuse to lend us any money at all. Others would only lend it to us at higher interest rates. That would hurt the economy and it would hit people hard. If you have a mortgage of £100,000, just a 1% increase in interest rates would mean an extra £1,000 to pay each year. So Labour's plan to borrow more is actually a massive gamble with our economy and our future. It would squander all of the sacrifices we've already made. And let me put it like this. We're here because we spent too much and borrowed too much. How on earth can the answer be more spending and more borrowing? I honestly think that Labour haven't learnt a single thing. When they were in office, their answer was always, borrow more money. Now they're out of office, it's borrow more money. Whatever the day, whatever the question, whatever the weather, it is borrow more money. Borrow, borrow, borrow. Labour, the party of one notion, borrowing. There are times I wonder whether they know anything about the real economy at all. Did you hear last week what Ed Miliband said about taxes? He described a tax cut as the government writing people a cheque. I hope you don't mind. I just want to explain it for him. Ed, this is how it works. When people earn money, it's their money. Not the government's money, it's their money. Don't interrupt, I don't want them to lose the thread. Then the government takes some of it away in tax. So if we cut taxes, we're not giving them money, we're taking less of it away. OK? Got it? And do you know what? While we're on it, who suffers when the wealthy businessman or entrepreneur goes off to live in Geneva? Not him. He's paying about half the tax he'd do if he was staying here. It's those who want to work because the jobs, the investment, the growth will go somewhere else. Now, we promised that those with the broadest shoulders would bear the biggest burden. And with us, the rich will pay a greater share of tax in every year of this Parliament than in any one of the 13 years under Labour. Under Labour. We haven't forgotten what it was like under Labour. We remember who spent our golden legacy, who sold our gold, who busted our banks, who smothered our businesses, who racked up our debts, who wrecked our economy, who ruined our reputation, who risked our future. Who did this? Labour did this. And our country should never forget it. Let me put it simply. Welfare isn't working, and this is a tragedy. Now, our reforms are just as profound as those of Beveridge 60 years ago. He had his great evils to slay: squalor, ignorance, want, idleness, and disease. Here are mine. First, unfairness. What are hard-working people who travel long distances to get into work and pay their taxes meant to think when they see families, individual families, getting 40, 50, 60,000 pounds of housing benefit to live in homes that these hard-working people could never afford themselves? It is an outrage, and we are ending it by capping housing benefit. The second evil: injustice. Here is the choice that we give our young people today. Choice one: work hard, go to college, get a job, live at home, save up for a flat, and as I've just said, that can feel like forever. Choice two: don't get a job, sign on, don't even need to produce a CV when you do sign on, get housing benefit, get a flat, and then don't ever get a job or you'll lose a load of that housing benefit. We must be crazy. So this is what we've done. Now you have to sign a contract that says you do your bit and we'll do ours. It requires you to have a real CV, and it makes clear you have to seek work, you have to take work, or you will lose your benefit. And we are going to look at ending automatic access to housing benefit for people under 25 too. Let me put it like this. If hard-working young people have to live at home while they work and save, why should it be any different for those who don't? The next. The next evil: bureaucracy. Sign on, sign here, come back in a fortnight, repeat as required. What does this do for the guy who's been out of work for years, even decades, who's playing computer games all day, living out some fantasy because he hates his real life. For people like him, we've got to do something new. And we are. The work program takes the money we're going to save from getting people off the dole, and it uses it today to get them into work with proper training. We're prepared to spend up to £14,000 on one individual to get them into work. And already, almost 700,000 people have got onto the work program. So I want us to be clear in this party. In British politics today, it is this party that is saying, no one is a write-off, no one is hopeless, and with Ian Duncan Smith leading this revolution, let us be the party that shows there is ability and promise in each and every one of our citizens. I don't have a hard luck story. My dad was a stockbroker from Berkshire. But it's only when your dad is gone that you realise not just how much you miss them or how much you really love them, but how much you really owe them. My dad influenced me much more than I ever thought. He was born with no heels on his feet, with legs that were about a foot shorter than they were meant to be. But he never complained, even when he lost those legs later in his life. Because disability in the 1930s was such a stigma, he was an only child, probably a lonely child. But my dad was the eternal optimist. To him, the glass was always half full, usually with something fairly alcoholic in it. And when I was a boy, I remember once going for a long walk with him in the village where we lived, and we walked past the church he supported all his life and past the village hall where he took part in unbelievably long parish council meetings. And he told me what he was most proud of. And it was simple. It was working hard from the moment he left school and providing a good start in life for his family. Not just all of us, but helping his mum too when his father ran off. Not a hard luck story, but a hard work story. Work hard. Family comes first, but put back into the community too. There's nothing complicated about me. I believe in working hard, caring for my family, serving my country. And there's nothing complicated about what we need today. This is still the greatest country on earth. We showed that again this summer. 22nd in world population, 3rd in the medals table. But it's tough. These are difficult times. We're being tested. How will we come through it? Again, it's not complicated. Hard work, strong families, taking responsibility, serving others. As I said on the steps of number 10 Downing Street, before walking through that door, those who can should. Those who can't, we will always help. The job of this party, of this government, is to help bring out the best in this country, because at our best, we are unbeatable. We know Britain can deliver because we've seen it time and time again. This is the country that invented the computer, defeated the Nazis, started the web, saw off the slave trade, unraveled DNA, fought off every invader for 1,000 years. We even persuaded the Queen to jump out of a helicopter to make the world smile. There's nothing we can't do. Can we make Britain the best place in the world to start a business, to grow a business, to help that business take on the world and win? Yes. Can we, the people who invented the welfare state in the first place, turn it into something that rewards efforts, that helps keep families together, that really helps the poorest with a new start in life? Yes. And can we take those schools and turn out students that will take on the brightest in the world? Yes, of course we can. Let us here in this hall, here in this government, together in this country, make this pledge. Let us build an aspiration nation. Let us get Britain on the rise. Deficit paid down, tough decisions taken, growth fired up, aspiration backed all the way. We know what it takes to win in the tough world of today, to win for all our people, to win for Britain. So let us get out there and do it.